podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. Oh, Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Hey, this is Chris. Welcome to the 20th episode. Episode 20, that's right, 20. All the rest of the podcasters are quaking in fear of my prodigiousness in podcasting. No, you don't think so? Well, all right. Sounded good when I thought of it. Got to send a shout-out to my friends. I got my friend Brian, who you heard me climb up Mount Watatuck with. His wife, Ellen, is about to have their first child, and that's so cool, even though I think I'll probably lose a running partner for a few months. And also to Helena, after all her talk, she went out and ran the Thomas Chambers 6K and averaged 6:13 miles to come in seventh overall in a very competitive woman's race. So that was pretty good. And also to all my other friends with the Squanacook River Runners. Today, we're going to talk to Martin Johnson, who is a Quebecois friend of mine. We're going to have some fun today. And, hey, let's get on with the show.
And now for the equipment check.
So continuing on the topic of braces, another soft spot on a lot of runners, especially trail runners, is your ankle. A lot of people roll their ankle. I'll talk to you about my ankle brace that I use. I rolled my ankle. You know, I told you to be careful in the woods. I rolled my ankle. I actually broke my ankle. I had an avulsion where the little tendon that wraps across the top of the foot pulls off and pulls a little piece of bone with it. It was pretty nasty. But it took me about 6 months to get back on my feet. And once I did, I had to wear a brace because it was pretty sore for a while. And what this brace is, it's not the scuba suit material. It's more of a woven elastic material. And it has a little hole where your heel sticks out, and you wear that right over your sock, inside your shoe, and it's not uncomfortable at all. And I wore it for like 6 months, and it's very comforting. It doesn't give a whole lot of structured support, but it gives you a compression, and it gives you sort of a, you know, it's nice. It's a talisman. It's a nice little, it's like having a teddy bear. It makes you feel like you're doing something to support your ankle, and I would suggest that as well. And again, if you're going to run in the woods, take it easy until you're used to it. When I rolled my ankle, I was in decent shape, but I just, without thinking about it, I had been spending a lot of time on the track, a couple weeks on the track, hadn't been out in the woods for a while. And then I went out and, like an idiot, was doing speed work in the woods, and I was cruising, churning down this ridge, and I just stepped on something wrong, and with my 200 pounds going downhill, it just snapped that ankle. So there you go, off my feet for 6 months. So that's my advice. Bye.
Et maintenant, dans une entrevue exclusive.
Bon.
Oui.
Good morning, and today I'm going to interview Martin Johnson from Quebec City, Canada. If you look on your map, you see where the St. Lawrence River comes out of North America, up there in the upper right-hand corner. Nope, you find my house, go another 2 inches higher. That's it. That's Quebec City. It's an old city. It had its 400th anniversary. It's almost like a little European city. It's got this great citadel where they built, you know, a giant granite wall around the entire city, like in the medieval times, but not that old. It's got this great fort up there. It's really pretty, and the food is awesome. The women are beautiful. The only problem is it's very cold up there for 7 months, 8 months out of the year. That's why there's so many of those French-Canadian hockey players that are so good. But Martin is a friend of mine. I worked with him for a long time, and then he had some medical problems and had to decide to take up running to you know, like we all do when we get to a certain age, and just to stay in shape and get healthy. So I hope you enjoy it. Bye.
See, there you go. It's amazing. technology. Now we're being recorded. Yeah, just think, you know, 20 years ago we could never do any of this stuff.
No, you're right, you're right.
Isn't the internet the coolest thing?
When it works.
When it works, yeah. Hey, so it's in the 70s down here in Massachusetts today. It must be like minus 5 in Quebec City this morning?
Well, it was kind of cool. It was, I would say, around 50, 55 degrees this morning, a little on the cool side, but the leaves are turning red slowly. So we're getting hit by snow pretty soon, I guess, in maybe in a couple months.
Yeah, well, October you'll be skating, right?
Almost, yeah.
I can remember skating in Quebec City in October.
I think there's a skating rink outside in the Place Vieux-Ville there that they opened it up pretty early.
Yeah, well, that's where I skate, right there. Except, I'm an American, so I can only skate in one direction.
But oddly enough, we had the half marathon over the last weekend was really, really hot. One guy died, and 60 people or so passed.
A guy died. What did he die of? Did he die from the heat, or did he just die from a heart attack?
Well, they say it's a heart attack. It's an experienced marathoner. The guy had a couple of triathlons, and he had several marathons. And that's kind of puzzling how these things happen sometimes. The guy was in shape, I don't know, maybe bad course management, bad heat management maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
No, I think most of the big marathons now, somebody dies, you know?
Yeah.
I wrote a piece on that maybe last year, because as soon as somebody dies, they start talking about how bad marathoning is for you, right?
Yeah.
They start saying it's bad for you.
But people who die all seem to be the people who are in good shape.
Yeah, it's a bit of a paradox, because that's the thing, you know, you're probably going to live longer because of it, but if it hits you during a race, you're down. You're not getting back up.
That's right.
So, yeah, I had a guy drop right in front of me in a 16-mile race one winter.
Oof.
In the right at the finish line, the guy dropped right in front of us.
Did he die of it? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But we were there trying to keep him alive. But anyhow, that's all very inspirational. So did you run the Demi marathon?
Yes. I ran the half marathon. We're happy.
And that,
yeah, go ahead.
No, that still starts on the other side of the river, because I ran that once. I didn't run the full marathon in the Deux Rivières.
Yeah, no, it's still the same course, although they built a nice, you know, cycling / you know, running path along the river with sculptures and all sorts of things, just after the bridge on the north side. This year was we were about 2,500, which is almost 1,000 more than last year for the half marathon, because of the 400th anniversary of the city. They did a lot of advertising, and lots of Europeans and more Americans than before. So it was really, really fun.
Well, you know, we used to make fun of you guys because your currency wasn't worth anything.
Now the
jokes are going the other way. So was it really crowded with that many people in the half marathon?
I would say the first third of the course was crowded because they narrowed down to one lane. And if you remember, there's the hill there after a couple of kilometers. It's kind of crowded there, and a couple other areas where there's some sharp turns. But other than that, once you're past the bridge, then it's wide open, and it's not crowded anymore. But the more people that have ever attended the half marathon and also the marathon. But it was great.
So yeah, that hill leads up to the bridge at I would say about halfway point, right? About 10K.
Yes. Yes.
It gets very narrow there, because I remember tripping over somebody.
Yeah.
Taking the corner onto the bridge when I ran it.
Yep. Exactly. But we had a lousy summer, so we trained between 50 to, in, you know, temperatures in the 50s and the 60s.
Yeah.
And the day of the race, then it's really hot and humid. So it's kind of, you know, we're northern runners here, but I mean by that, we run more in cold weather, cold temperatures than in hot temperatures.
Sure.
So when heat like that happens and you trained in other conditions, man, it's kind of called. You have to adjust pretty fast and have to use every every, you know, Gatorade slash water sponge, whatever they throw at you, you better use it, because what can happen is people pass out.
Yeah. Well, you know, in a half marathon, it's really not long enough to do any serious damage to yourself from dehydration, I don't think.
No.
But, you know, you're right, it's tough, because it's the same thing happens down here in the springtime. You know, we train in the cold weather, and then it gets hot really fast, right?
Yep.
And we're just not used to it. You know, people from Florida or, you know, Arizona will say, it was 85 degrees, what are you guys complaining about? That's a nice day. But for us, you know, we're going from 33 degrees in the freezing rain with the tights on to 85 degrees.
Yeah, and here it's winter, 7 months of the year, out of the year. So, you know, you've been here before. So, you know, in the wintertime, we run in, you know, like on snow and ice, and it's like minus 20, and that's like more than half of the year.
Yeah, you know that. That's my favorite. I love running up there when it's cold. I can remember getting up in the morning to do my speed work up there. And it's like minus 5 Fahrenheit.
Yep.
And, you know, ice on the ground down the path down by the river.
So when you're on a business trip in the middle of January and you're used to running at, you know, minus 10 and it's down, let's say, in Arizona somewhere and, like, you have to train outside and it's like 80 or 85 degrees, it's a shock. It really is a shock.
Yeah. And, you got to carry all those clothes and everything. It's tough. But, yeah, I used to have a great 10K route I'd run from the Holiday Inn down by the cruise ship terminal.
Yes.
And then up down the Petit Champlain and up those really long stairs, the stairs where there's 300 steps or whatever it is.
Yeah, lots of people use that for training.
Yep, and run up there to the plane, the Abraham.
Yep.
And then back down through the old city. Yeah, Quebec City's cool because it's got that, it's 400 years, right, this year? 400 years?
Yes, that's right.
400 years, and it's got the old sort of walled city with the fort and the big stone walls around the city. It's really cool. I like it up there.
We appreciate a quality of life here. It's not too big, it's not too small, it's just okay.
Yeah, and people are surprisingly healthy for the, you know, considering you eat the poutine and that other.
Well, you'd be surprised at people now who do a lot of bicycle. More and more people run, and since they've built this running path on, it starts from under the old bridge, and it goes all the way to the Saint Roch area. You know where our offices are. So it's about 10K straight. You know, along the river all the way to the lower part of the old city. And it's really beautiful, and it's we see more and more runners and more people doing bicycles and, you know, online skates and all that. So people are getting in shape, I guess, more and more. So that's really good.
I like that. Those are internet-enabled skates, online skates.
Yes, online. Yeah. Well, we have, like, you know, a couple weeks out of the year we can do that.
Yeah, that's right. That's the joke, right? It's 2 weeks of bad skating,
and after that we hop on the ice skates.
The summertime is kind of funny out there because everybody goes outside. The entire population of the city goes outside and gets around outside.
You're kind of stuck between four walls and pretty much, you know, months and months out of the year. But if you live in winter, might as well live it and go outside, go outdoors, do some skiing, skating, play hockey, whatever. Otherwise, if you're being cooped up in your house, you know, every day, when you see some warm temperatures and the sun coming out and finally the snowbank in front of your house is gone, then you just go outside because you've been, you know, seeing your four walls for too long.
Yep. And I thought it was funny that in July and August, people bring out their convertibles and their motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're only driving that convertible for maybe, what, 5 nights a year, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
So this guy sits inside in his garage polishing that car. For 8 months, right?
Yeah. I guess if you live in Florida, you don't enjoy it as much, you know?
But yeah, I guess not.
You can't actually do it. Oh, man, it's like heaven.
So what's different about trying to run outside when it's so cold out? I mean, I know because I've trained up there, but what do you do differently?
Well, you watch where you go much more, that's for sure. Depending on, of course, I don't like to run when there's maybe 3-4 inches of snow on the ground. I when I can see a little bit of asphalt, or I'll run in the in tire tracks, let's say when it's really compact. You have to run light-footed, I would say, you know, because your foot can slip, anything can happen, so you really have to be careful. But you know what, at the end of winter, when it starts to be warmer, you're so used to it, you kind of appreciate the cold air, I don't know, the breathing is different, but I would say mostly it's you have to be light-footed and really watch where you're going.
Yeah, and that's true in Quebec City because it's a walking city. Everybody walks, even in the winter, everybody walks.
Yep.
And so the snow gets packed down, and it's like a sheet of ice. And
yep.
I can remember running down by the river and thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to end up in the river.
But I tried some weatherproof trail shoes, and it's still kind of slippery sometimes. So I just put like these spikes on. Put them on. It's kind of clumsy at first, but you really get used to it and you appreciate it, because if there's a little bit of ice, then the spikes are really useful.
Are those the ones that wrap around the shoe,
yeah,
or do you actually?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. Yep, like yak tracks or those things.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, and the other thing I remember running, trail shoes helped a lot when I was running up there in the winter because they're a little bit softer and stickier.
Yep.
So the carbon rubber shoes, they get really, really hard when it's that cold out. They get like rocks.
Yeah,
they don't kind of flex at all.
The traditional cushioning on some shoes in the wintertime, it just freezes up.
Right. So, it's no longer cushioning.
No, so you really feel it in your bones, eh?
Exactly.
You really, really feel it on your knees and your hips, and so if because winter is so long, you have to when you buy your shoes to run in winter, you better question on the type of cushioning that the shoe has. Although at minus 10, minus 5, and sometimes minus 15, you know, it's useless.
Yeah. So anyhow, you guys had all kinds of celebrations over the summer, right?
Hey, we had Paul McCartney.
You had Paul McCartney, but you also had Celine Dion.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I guess so. She's not my type. But McCartney was really cool. There was about 250,000 people there outside, and he had a ball. I mean, the guy is 60-some-odd years old, and he played, like, for 3 hours.
That's great.
The guy is amazing. He's just simply amazing. You see he still loves it, and he plays to the crowd, and, I mean, he's just fantastic.
Yeah,
lots of tourists this year. Hotels were full pretty much all summer long.
Oh, that's great. And
yep.
Probably a lot of Europeans, too.
Yeah, a lot of Europeans. More, I'd say, probably more Europeans because of the euro. The euro is so strong.
Yeah.
Still a lot of Americans just driving up, you know, easier to...
Yep.
If you're from the Northeast, then it's easy to just drive up here.
Yep.
An interesting batch, and some you know, people from Asia also, Japanese, and so it was an interesting mix. It was not the time for us to have dinner in the old city this summer.
No,
restaurants were full and the prices were high.
Yeah, so but they'll all go home in another 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, that's right. Oh no, the foliage. You know, we have cruise ships, about 15 or 20 cruise ships that stop here in the fall for the foliage. So there's a little bit of that. So I would say by the end of October or so, then it quiets down.
So what do they do? Do they load those cruise ship people on buses to drive them out of the city to look at the leaves?
Well, they just go up the St. Lawrence River and down. Well, they go up. I guess they go down the current. So you go down the St. Lawrence River and they stop at different places. They stop at Quebec City. Some of them go as far as Montreal.
Oh, really?
But, yeah. So there's all sorts of tours that are being organized for these people. They dock the boats really close to the low part of the old city. So people just step out of the boat and they walk in the old city, and they stay there for 2-3 days usually. So you see them walking around and you know get lost and find their way back and all that kind of stuff. Like any walking city, I would say.
To see the the other parts of Quebec City, you got to climb up that cliff, you know.
Yep. Yep.
That would probably deter a lot of the people. I guess they can get on the Ascensiar, the elevator.
Yeah, the elevator there, absolutely.
Because the old city is down on Le Petit Champlain, down on the water, same water level. But then the new old city is up on top of the cliff, which is, I don't know, what would you think that would be, about a couple hundred meters higher?
A couple meters higher, yeah. Some of them even take the bus up there, you know. They load them up in buses and unload them near the Chateau Frontenac. So
they drive them up the cliff. That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, you have tourists here that that do, like, I would say, they call it like a five-day trip. They go to Niagara Falls, they stop in Montreal, they stop in Quebec City, or they do two, three spots like that, and they just go back home, eh? It's just, it's rush, rush, rush. They're in Quebec City for half a day, they put them in buses, they drive to Ottawa, so they spend more time traveling than actually visiting.
Sure.
So,
I remember seeing those people sometimes when I was staying up there.
It's like, visit 10 countries in 5 days in Europe.
Yeah, and they get them up early, too. I'd be going to work, and they'd be loading these poor people into buses.
Yeah.
You know? 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, how'd you do in the marathon, the demi-marathon?
Well, I ran the first, there's a first half marathon here in May, in early May, called the International, I don't know why they call it international because it's only local folks, but it's the International Half Marathon for Quebec City, in Quebec City in the early May. I did 1:35 then. It's a flat course, and it was cool and a little slight rain falling, so that for me was a perfect, for me it's perfect conditions because we're just out in May, we're just out of running in the cold weather that went along. So I did 1:35 then, which for me was good.
That's
because the first one I did it in 2 hours and five minutes. So that
was 7 minute miles.
Hey,
that's 7 minute miles.
Well, that was 1 hour 35 minutes was good, and this one here I did 1 hour and 41 minutes. So considering the heat, the hills and all that, I'm happy with the time I did.
Yeah, but you just started running again. What, 3 years ago?
3 years ago, yeah, I had 220 pounds on a 6'1" frame with diabetes, and my doctor said, "Martin, you got to do something about it." So I did, and I dropped 50 pounds in about a year, and I kept running after that. And I had to put myself in a position where I had to reach a goal of some sort. Running is one thing, but I said, okay, I'm gonna do a half marathon. That's gonna be my goal. So I trained for my first half marathon in August of 2006. So when I started training, I was, I was carrying around that 220 pound, weight, and just running a kilometer was like, what, me running a kilometer? It was impossible. So slowly but surely, one day at a time, and there was one run after another, I just, piled up the miles and piled up the miles, and at the end, I was really ready to do. I did my first half. I wasn't uncomfortable. I was okay, but I did a half marathon. I reached my first goal, and I guess, I didn't get, to me, time was not really important then. I just wanted to do it be not too uncomfortable, because I wanted to keep running afterwards. So the second one I did, I challenged myself a little more. I trained. I kept running throughout the year, and I said, I'm going to lower that time. I'm going to do a better time. I did 1 hour, 35 minutes. I was amazed. I was impressed. I came up, and there was not a lot of people. That was ninth in my age group. Came up ninth on, I think there was a couple hundred people there. So that was really, really, that was great. And this one I did the 1 hour 31 minutes, which, under the conditions, the heat and all that, put me on a flat course and on cool weather, I would probably have done, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 minutes slower than that.
Did you do the full marathon yet?
No. I'm not too sure I'm going to get there. if I run it like slowly, start slow. Do the same kind of approach as I did when I started running for the first half. Do one at least, comfortably, see what happens afterwards. Because at 48 years old, you got to listen to your body more, a little more.
So, well, come on now.
We're not Superman like you, you know.
Well, I'm going out. I'm running a 50-mile race in a month.
Well, you're crazy. That's different.
50. Yeah.
But no, maybe next year I'll do a first full marathon comfortably. See what happens, and after that, just go one step, you know, a little step over that, and have a better time, and maybe do that kind of approach.
Well, you'll get to a point where you will need goals, right? So you set yourself
exactly.
a goal, and then you just train for it. And it'll, you know, the training is like, you know, it's just fun to do the training, and to have something, you know, in your life like that that's structured.
The challenge is there. It's not the race. It's really the training, because sometimes I feel to train for a full marathon, you have to be single and unemployed.
That's not true. It's about the same training as for a half marathon. You just, your long runs are a little bit longer on Sundays.
That's right. I guess so. But it's like anything else. You really, when you start at it, you start doing it, you really, oddly enough, even though initially you think of it as being impossible, you turn around and after a couple of months you've managed to squeeze it into your agenda, and it works.
So it seems like it worked for you. So what would you recommend for new runners? What would be your advice for somebody who wants to start running?
I'd say have your first goals have to be realistic, depending on where you start from. Try to run comfortably. Don't go too fast too soon. You have to build up your health. You have to build up you have to be able to manage your body. So one step at a time, slowly but surely, and increase your mileage. Increase the mileage, and at the end of 6 months, you'll be impressed by what you've achieved. But if you look, you have an initial goal that's unreachable or too. Don't I'd say start with a 10K race. After that, do a half marathon. Depending on how you want to do it. But once
a 5K,
or even a 5K, yeah, because a race, a real race, it's an event. It's really fun. You meet people. It's social. It's really, really, the race itself is fun. So the race is the ultimate goal. And while you train, start slowly. Don't start with full. I want to do a full marathon. You never ran in your life. I think that's not going to work out. You're not going to like running.
Yeah, you can't do it all in one day.
No. I mean, it's you're challenging yourself. So there's no hurry. Just you have a date, which is, you have a race. Let's say it's a 5K race. It's in, 3 or 4 months from now. You have that, but, don't do a full marathon to start with in 6 months. you're gonna end up in the papers.
Yeah, exactly. So what are your plans now for the next 5-10 years? You going to keep at it?
Oh, of course. I like to run a half marathon in New England somewhere in October, November. There's one in Portland, Maine, I think in October, that I'm maybe going to join.
I'll set you up with a friend of mine. I got two down here. Actually, there's one coming up pretty soon called the Hollis Half Marathon in Hollis, New Hampshire, which is, I know the race director in the club over there. I can set you up.
Well,
look that one up on Google Running.
I'll look it up. I'd like to do another half in late fall, October, November somewhere, and after that, keep running through the winter time. And I'll do those two in Quebec City. We've got one in May and the one in August next year. Also, I'll do it again. So I'm looking at three half marathons a year for now, and maybe I'll add a full marathon in a couple of years from now. We'll see. But I'm not in a hurry to do that.
No. Well, that's good. That'll keep you doing it, because you can't always go further and faster. You know, at our age, you got to be happy with what you can do.
Well, Chris, that's the thing. The goal here is to keep doing it. So you have to have fun while you do it.
Right.
And you enjoy going outside. And right now, I tell you, I cannot run on a treadmill. I like running outside too much.
You were always an outside guy. You used to be a trapper when you were a kid, right?
Yeah, that's right, exactly. So, I mean, the goal for me is to have fun doing it and keep doing it all the time because, hey, I have no choice but to keep fit because of the diabetes, and it's a constant battle with me. Yeah. I'm always at war with the disease all the time, so running for me is my way to, you know, keep battling it and keeping my blood sugar under control, and it works. You know, I'd rather do that than take more pills.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, so our 25 minutes is up. What do you think? So you found me on the podcast. How did you find the podcast?
Well, I have like this Google Reader thing, and I just typed in some like running, and it just you popped up there. I said run live with Chris Whipple there. I said where does the guy find time to do all that? What do you have to find time to do? You sleep at night?
I do. I sleep, but I don't do anything else except eat, run, and work. So,
wow.
You know, I don't have any vices. I don't have, I don't drink, you know, I don't smoke, I don't gamble, and I don't have a mistress, so it frees up a lot of time.
But, you know, keep doing it, Chris, because I know I've passed your book along to a couple of my friends, and since I've started running, it's kind of contagious. There's five of my friends that are running now that were not runners before.
That's correct.
They saw what I did, and they said, well, if Martin, you know, does it, and they see how fit I am, and so they started running with me, and I've been passing your book along, so just, you know, it's contagious what you're doing, and it's you are doing a good thing. Maybe you're not doing it for that reason, but you are still doing a good thing because you're influencing people to run, and that's positive.
Well, I'm certainly not doing it for money, my friend.
Well, I would think so, yeah.
All right, I'll give you. Let's stay in touch. All right, we'll find time to run together. Now that you're faster than me.
Well, I might go in the Boston area. We've got NSTAR. We have a customer in the Boston area that I have to visit, and I might call you up.
Good. Give me a call.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.
See you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
This episode of the Run, Run, Live podcast is sponsored by Tresemme, back hair products for men, a complete line of shampoos, conditioners, and coloring. Bob, have you been something different with your body for today? It looks so luxurious.
Why, yes, Carol. I use the Tresemme Foliant Cleanse with vitamin E for that lustrous body fur shine.
Oh, Bob. Tresemme, back hair products for men. Because no one else has thought of it.
Hey, Chris, it's Scott. I just wanted to check in and let you know that I took your advice. One of the tips you gave was to contact the Timex hotline and any old watches that have been laying around, whether they are missing a battery or broken bands. I just had two watches that had broken bands, and I just never got around to finding the bands in the local area, so I just shipped them off kind of with blind faith to this address, the hotline, which you can find online if you just type in Timex hotline. And they just kind of showed up at my door all fixed, and my wife and I are now wearing our watches again. It's like having a new watch. Very small fee. Shipping was free. Quite an amazing, nice process that we went through. So thanks for that. Also, one last thing. I think you were looking for comments on whether you should break up the interviews if they go too long into two shows. And for me personally, I think putting them all in one show is totally fine. I guess it might be because most of my runs are over an hour anyway. But anyway, just an idea. I don't think people mind too much if it goes over an hour, but just my opinion. All right, Chris, keep up the good work, and I'll be speaking to you soon, and I'll again see you in Vaughn. Cheers.
Hey, this is Chris. Wrap it up another episode 20. That was Martin and Scott, and the Bumper Girls are having a blast here. We're talking to you from beautiful Harwich, Massachusetts, in our summer house here. We take a couple days off, and they get the giggles. We're going to close with a special tribute to Code Lyoko in French. by the Bumper Girls. I'm going to talk to another gentleman from Montreal tomorrow, so maybe we'll keep up with the with the French and Quebecois silliness here. Eh? All right. We'll see you out there, eh? Aren't they cute? So we're a little short here on time. I'm going to throw another song in. This one's called Je me souviens by the Naked Gun, and it is in French, and that means I remember, and also happens to be the license plate for, yeah, you guessed it, cars from Quebec. So there you go, man. It's all like it's a full circle. Listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, run, live. The podcast for all your running needs.